following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Jake Bourgeois of the Anamosa Journal in Eureka and Coltrane Carlson of Raccoon Valley Radio in Stuart. Jake, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
So, wanted to start with sort of the big news of the last week, getting the debt ceiling legislation hammered out. Just curious your overarching thoughts on it, what you thought helped make your vote in favor of it, and sort of some things you want to still see worked on going forward here.
I'll answer the big question first. The main reason for voting for it is I don't think the government has ever and should not default on its debt. I think the high interest rates and the high unemployment and what it would show the rest of the world that a great nation like the United States, the number one economy, ought to be leading and not doing stupid things is very important that we keep that reputation. I would say there's some good things in it, some things not so good. I don't think there's anything bad in it, except for the fact that we should have cut more spending. A couple things that I would point to that I think are good is, number one, more work requirements, or more people be covered by work requirements for food stamps, as an example, and shortening the period by which the bureaucracy can hold up permitting, whether it's for infrastructure or drilling or laying pipelines, whatever the case might be. That's averaged 4 to 5 years. Sometimes, like last couple weeks, there was mentioned some project was going through 17 years of review, finally approved. So this limits it to 2 years. I think those are the things that are good. They aren't directly related to saving the taxpayers' money, but it's going to get a more efficient use of the taxpayers' money. Now we'll go to Coltrane.
Thank you, Senator. Kind of dovetailing off of that question, what are some changes or things you would like to see made here in the short term? And I'll kind of let you interpret what time frame you think that could be in the short term here, other than what was agreed to in the debt ceiling vote, that you would like to see done to kind of lower the country's overall debt?
Have a constitutional amendment requiring a balanced budget. I have voted for it at least 3 times and maybe 4 times it's been up since I've been in the United States Senate. I don't think there's a chance of getting it up now, but I know that 46 of our 50 states, I think, have such requirements in their constitution, and I think they work. And there is something in this bill that the president just signed that I think is going to take care of, should take care of a problem that we have with this end of the year of having one big omnibus appropriation bill, that we're supposed to be working on 12 separate appropriation bills and get it done by September 30th. If that can be accomplished, it'll be one of the major accomplishments of this legislation. Back to Jake.
I know you sort of have been talking about antitrust legislation a lot when it comes to tech companies, things like that, but just something that came out today, where I know antitrust legislation has been a topic of conversation, has been with professional golf and the stuff that's been going on with the PGA Tour and LIV, and I know sports law is involved in that as well. Is sort of the deal that's been announced today for that, is that something the federal government's keeping an eye on at all? You see them having a role of sort of looking into as it sort of goes forward and tries to get finalized?
Yeah. Well, it seems to be kind of funny that you have a merger between these two, because that one that was set up because I think Saudi Arabia's leadership was set up for a special purpose. Now you see them merging. I'm not sure why it should have been set up in the first place. But I hesitate to give an answer on the merger of associations. Like, it'd be different if you were asking me about a corporation. But let me say simply that if there is a reason for the government to get involved, and it could be anti-competitive, then the federal government ought to exercise the enforcement of the antitrust laws, and it'd be a legitimate thing, because I see the government through antitrust laws and maybe some other laws that are on the books, I see as a legitimate referee in our free market economy to make sure that you have willing buyers and willing sellers and there's no collusion among the sellers. Back to Coltrane.
Okay, Senator, with a lot of Republicans now declaring their presidential candidacy here in the last couple of weeks, several of them did this past weekend as well. How important do you see the Iowa Republican Party as it plays its role as it continues to remain the first in the nation status with its caucus and having those candidates, you know, keep making those trips to the Hawkeye State?
I would say the same thing if the Democrats still had first in the nation in Iowa as opposed to South Carolina. And I hope that Democrats eventually bring that back to Iowa. But I see, first of all, the economic benefits to Iowa for having these campaigns come in and spend a lot of money. And I see it as an atmosphere in Iowa where people that take part in presidential caucuses, and this has been going on since 1972, that they take it very seriously, they study it, and it gives people that don't have much money to spend an opportunity to do retail politics and sell themselves. Now, I can't give you an example of a Republican, but I can give you an example of two Democrats that probably were presidents because they campaigned and took the Iowa Democratic caucuses very seriously. The first one was Jimmy Carter. Practically lived in Iowa, lived in people's homes from home to home over a period of 2 years. He won the Democratic caucuses in Iowa and went on to be president of the United States. The other one, and he didn't spend much money. And the other one was, and Obama spent a lot of money, but he had to prove to the Democrat machine that an African-American could get a white European vote, and that's what Iowa is, 85 to 90%. And he proved that, and he went on to be president of the United States. So I think they serve a valuable purpose of helping people get started that maybe otherwise would only be spending hundreds of millions of dollars and not spend too much money in Iowa to get acquainted with the people. Okay. Let's see, Jake.
Obviously, at the state level, the building collapse in Davenport has been a pretty big story at the state level. And I'm just sort of curious, sort of in your role and on your end, are there things you're staying in communication about?
Yeah.
What are you sort of keeping an eye on as this sort of develops?
Well, there's two approaches that, maybe three that I do to keep in touch. One, Penny Vashik of my Davenport office is in constant communication with the leaders of Davenport on the issue and the families affected. And even in one case, a veteran that's still alive, but he lost his medals as a result of the collapse. I suppose it's in the rubbles there, and he'll never get them. He's asking us to get him new medals that he won in the military. And then I had a phone call yesterday with the mayor of Davenport and with the chief of police, doing two things. Telling them how we grieve. Tell them how we can be helpful for them to let us know, and that we're going to keep Penny on the job there to be able to help any way we can. And I'm not sure that the role of the federal government at this point, but if people tell us that we can, or ask for help, we'll try to do it. And, of course, we're mourning the loss of the three lives there in that collapse, Brandon, Ryan, and Daniel. It seems to me that it's bad that it happened, and we'll be ready to help as best we can. Coltrane, you're going to have the last question.
Okay, thank you, Senator. I understand that you have the Iowa Farm Bureau president and the COO of the Seavers Family Farms testifying before a Senate Budget Committee hearing tomorrow. What I'm wondering from that is, what are your goals that you want to show your colleagues in D.C.? And then secondarily, what is the end game that you're hoping to try and achieve after the hearing?
Well, I think it's not only a budget matter, even though it's before the Budget Committee, but the chairman of the Budget Committee, Senator Whitehouse, Democrat of Rhode Island, is using the committee, besides the budget work that we ought to be doing. We're doing little of that, and he's spending most of his time on global warming. And some of this is to get the interest of agriculture expressed in the whole global warming aspect of, well, how agriculture contributes to it, how agriculture is doing its share to cut down on greenhouse gases, like we do through minimum tillage, no tillage, through cover crops, things of that manner. And I think somebody like the president of the Farm Bureau is going to be telling how farmers are very good stewards of the land. Because if you mistreat the land, you're hurting yourself economically, and you're probably hurting it for future generations as well. Thank you all very much for participating, Jake and Coltrane.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Jake and Coltrane, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.